In this week's episode, we're going to talk about the email open rate, what it is, and how you can increase it. We're also going to take a look at a book that will help you write well. Welcome to You're the Marketing Department, the show for you, the CEOs, VPs, or solo marketers inside a growing organization. Whether it's your main task or just one hat you wear, we're here to help provide tips, resources, and encouragement as you perform the impossible of leading an organization as a one-man or one-woman marketing department. As always, be sure to check out our website at newnorth.com/podcast or our LinkedIn page, or just send us an email for more information about today's show and the resources into marketing. Anyway, my name is Jacob, and I'll be the host of today's show. I'm joined by Tobin. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday to you, Jacob. How are you doing?
I'm not bad. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
I think our intent here this morning is to just take a quick break in the podcast and thank everybody for listening. We've been a few episodes in so far, and so we hope that it's been a good journey for everyone, that the content's really applicable to where you are. And we want to take a second to talk about our vision for the podcast and really what we're hoping to accomplish and why we even got here in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have so many clients that for years are struggling with marketing, not quite sure what to do. I mean, marketing is a constantly evolving industry, so it's really difficult to stay on top of it if you're not constantly doing it. And so our goal for this podcast is to kind of provide a community for people in that position, have someone to ask questions, just help them out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really understand the situation that you're in. For years, New North has been serving clients who maybe that one man or one woman marketing department inside of an organization. So we're really close to that challenge. We understand the dynamics of pushing the agenda yourself, or you know, by yourself, or having maybe one other person who understands that, and really what it means to wear that in addition to other hats. Sometimes we have CTOs who are also the CMOs or VPs of finance who are also doing marketing. So we really understand that dynamic of pushing marketing, but maybe not being also in your wheelhouse at the same time. So we like to come along those people and really help build them up, build a case, fill in the gaps of their knowledge, and really help support their cases as they push it forward, because they're also very passionate. We know you're a passionate person. You didn't take on marketing because you know, it was the last thing to do. You want to make it successful. You want to have it work well for your organization. So really hoping this podcast can help assist in that as you make that journey. So that kind of brings you up to speed. And so, but speaking of speeding, I think Jacob has a story for us this morning.
Yeah. I mean, before I tell the story, it's not much of a story, before I tell it, how accurate are those, little speed trap speed camera?
I would say they're pretty accurate.
Well, see, I have data to suggest that's
okay,
not quite correct.
Data's always good.
I've been flashed by a speeding camera.
That's good. Good. You clarify
of that,
that
flashing variety.
Yeah.
Okay. Like 6 times.
Wow. Okay.
In the last 2 years.
Wow. And so no tickets?
That's the thing. I've gotten no tickets from them.
Wow.
And so while that's great, yeah, it's fantastic. Karma's going to catch up to me any day now. And so I feel like just getting flashed earlier, that's karma coming for me. And I'm just waiting. How long did it take to come in the mail?
Tickets? Not very long. A week or two at most.
Good. All right. I won't be stressing for too long then.
Yeah. Now, were you driving your car?
This time, yes, I was driving my car.
Okay.
But in the past, I had driven other people's cars.
Because it does go to the person who the plate is registered to.
Yes, yes, yes. But hold on. I think they would say something.
You would think they would.
I don't have that nice friends.
That's true. I know. Excellent. Well, that's a good segue. But yeah, I've had the traffic camera go off on me twice. Actually, twice in the same day. Once going to a client and on the way back. 2 tickets same day.
Dang.
That was good times.
And you got caught for both?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you tried putting like
I got two different sides of my car in the cameras.
Have you tried putting duct tape over your license plate? Why I haven't gotten caught yet.
I think that's illegal, actually.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, blocking the plate, definitely illegal.
I've actually always thought if I had a motorcycle, I don't. It'd be cool. Like, what if you just like lean back like and have your hand dangle over? You could just be like, nah, I'm just relaxing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's worth a shot.
Yeah, this could be worth a shot.
Anyway, so today we're going to talk about email open rates. And we get questions a lot from clients and even prospects about how you go about increasing your open rate, what it means, how's it calculated? I mean, there's a lot of questions around that. Is it calculated by the number that were actually successfully delivered or the number that were sent? Let's start there. I mean, how is it calculated?
Perfect. It's a great question. So the email open rate is really the amount of opens you had to the base of what you sent. So like you mentioned, some email clients will measure based on the total number sent.
Mm-hmm.
Some will measure off the total number delivered. And so you have a deliverability issue. So if your email client has deliverability, which most of the more advanced systems do, they actually will tell you your deliverability score as well as your actual sent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the metric you need to look for. Because if you don't want to compare apples to apples, if you're using two different systems,
yeah,
for example, so you want to make sure what your metric's being calculated off, the number delivered or just the number sent.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that can be a pretty big difference, maybe skewing by 7 or 8% in some systems. So
mm-hmm.
that's really where you get that measure of those. Now, the other question that comes up after that usually is, what is my open rate? Like, how is open rate calculated?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, is how that the question is asked. Because the first thing usually comes out after the first send of an email for someone who's never done an email marketing is when we're jumping off the chair saying, oh, we got a 25% open rate. And they're thinking, why are you nuts? Like, that's only 25% of people open. That's only a quarter of them.
Yeah.
Why are you thinking that's so good? The inherent challenge with email open rates is that it has to be triggered off of an event, meaning that something has to happen in the email for us to know that it's been opened. There's no magic system behind the scenes that does this. This is really a cat and dog fight between the email client, like Outlook or Mac Mail or something, and the email sender. And so the way this is typically done is through something called a tracking pixel, where a little image, maybe let's say a 1x1 pixel image, is put into the email. And when the email is opened, that image is requested from the server, and thus it's been tracked. And so we know that you've seen the email because the image is only requested when someone tries to visualize the email. Now, the challenge with this is that a lot of email clients block images. And so if you're using Outlook, you've seen that block image tab. Mac Mail has block images. So if you're blocking images, that would actually not render as an open. So most email open rates are below 50% simply because a lot of people don't open it, but additionally, some of them who do open it don't get tracked. And so when we're talking about an ideal open rate being 20%, that's averaging an idea of, you know, some that don't open it, but also those maybe who do open it who aren't being tracked until they do something. So email open rates will slowly go up over time as the technology advances, but you know, we're looking at open rates being related to a pixel being tracked or a click in an email, some action happening with the email. And so that's how you get that open rate.
Now, the biggest thing people wonder is, I've been sending out emails for a while. I think it's working. I've gotten a couple sales from it. But what is a good open rate?
That's a great question. I kind of led into that a little bit earlier. I think most people should look at around a 20% as a general benchmark. If you're shooting for that. Now, if you're in food or a restaurant space, it's going to be less. You'd be happy for 8%. If you've got a huge list, if you're in some of the consumer product good stuff that we've done before, we were excited about 3%. But that list was also over 100,000 subscribers. And so the factor of where you get what's a good email open rate comes down to your list and your list quality. I mean, you just had a send the other day that was way above.
Yeah, yeah.
That.
It was like 50, 60%, but that was because the list was only like 400 or 500 people. And so they're a lot more intimate, and I mean...
Right, and I think that list of 500 people were people that the client already emailed previously.
Mm-hmm.
They had one-to-one relationships with, so they actually knew this person. So it was destined for success. I mean, that's a huge number, 56%.
Yeah.
But it's indicative of the list.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a list of 100,000 people who are getting an email from, you know, info at company name, that list is going to be, or that response can be way less than that because it's not a one-to-one relationship. The list is bigger. We expect all those metrics to slide down. So what's a good email open rate for you? You need to think about the size of your list, the quality of that list, and then adjust accordingly. Now, if you've got 100,000, you've got a 4% open rate, I'd say that's generally pretty good. If you've got 1,000, you've got a 10% open rate, I'd say it's generally bad. So there's a lot of benchmarks we can kind of put together quickly as we think about it, but again, it all depends, and so you really need to have someone look at your email list to really give you a judge of whether you got a good rate or not. But everyone wants that rate to go up, because really the value of having an open rate go up means that your message is getting seen more, more impressions, which would eventually lead to more marketing messages being delivered, which we'd hope would come to more sales.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So I guess the first thing when it comes to the open rate is the email list. I mean, it's all based off that. And so I think one of the bigger mistakes that people have or questions they have is how do you manage that list? Like, do you just keep adding on to it and then building from there? Is there ever a reason to take clients off?
Absolutely, yeah. So I think there's three big things to increasing your email open rates. Now, you do these things today, your email tomorrow will be a better open rate. And some of them are a little tricky, so you need to kind of think about it here. So the first one is the list management, like you were mm-hmm. getting to. So purging your list. So we really recommend purging lists. What we find when we walk into a client, new engagement typically, is that they're using the same email list they've been building for the past 5 years. They've never taken a single email off, and their open rates are at 3% or 4% because they just have dead contacts. People aren't opening the emails. They haven't opened it in 3 years, and they haven't ever thought to remove that person. Well, maybe one day they're going to jump. No, they're not. Just lose the dream, forget it, move on, get a new one who's more interested. So purging your list will help. So find a time span that matches your sales cycle. So if you're a 2-year sales cycle, then maybe 2 years on the list isn't a bad deal. But if you're a 30-day sales cycle, typical interest, typical buy, or you've got some other nurture plans, but even then, I think after a year or a year and a half, 2 years, by then they're definitely dead wood and you need to remove them from your list. So purging them from your list will definitely boost your open rates instantly because they're the ones contributing to the inverse of your open rate, right? They're the ones who are not opening. Mm-hmm. So that will definitely help. Second strategy for that is also segmenting your current list. So if you took your list and broke it into three segments, maybe it's 0 to 30 days on your list, 30 to 90 and 90 plus, you could see your open rate in a different lens about how long that person's been on your list. So that way you could kind of make a judgment if your open rates are actually good for the early subscribers, the mid subscribers, and the late subscribers, because that should technically go down over time.
Great. So now that we kind of understand what to do with the email list, how to manage it, the next big problem and thing people hate is when their emails go into spam.
Right. So that gets back to deliverability, yep. Right? So the second thing is really about spam testing. So a couple things to think about. You know, do you have a professionally designed email? That's going to help a ton. If your email is improperly formed, your HTML is mangled, a spam filter may pick that up and decide that you're spam because mm-hmm. your email template's not looking good. Having a responsive template is so important these days because most of it's viewed on mobile anyway. Such as a general tip, doesn't really matter for deliverability, but having a good solid template. Also, the setup of your email. So there are some inner workings in the internet that you need to make sure are configured correctly as you go into this. Your domain has to have a SPF record that allows email to be sent from your email client. So there's a bit of a setup process that has to go there. There's an SPF record, maybe a text record has to be set up so that when email comes from HubSpot or it comes from MailChimp, that it is legitimately accepted by your client as coming from you or coming from your company. If not, your client's spam server will look at this and say, I got an email from Bob, but it really comes from MailChimp. I'm not sure if this is legit. I'm going to throw it in the spam.
It's like a reputation thing.
Right. So it's a matter of making sure that's set up because that will affect your deliverability huge. If you have a less than 90% deliverability score, you need to look at that mm-hmm. because that's huge. And then finally, just with spam is your subject line. Obviously, all caps, exclamation points on your subject line is not going to go over well. Mm-hmm. There's definitely keyword triggers, Cialis, free,
yeah.
One time only, today only. There's things that we just know we'll do it. And there's actually a whole list of them that are coming out constantly. So avoiding hot words, keywords. We all want to say like, please open our email now in all caps. Obviously, that'd be great if everyone listened to that, but it's likely spam. So making sure your subject line is pretty key. And that really leads us into the third point, which is really your subject line in total. So once you avoid the subject line from a spam perspective, the last thing you can do to increase your subject line, increase your email open rates is modifications to your subject line. Mm-hmm. That's the only part of your email that really impacts, from a creative perspective, the open rate. And so this is where we really push into personalization,
yeah.
where personalization can have an impact, and where A/B testing mm-hmm. can have an impact.
And I mean, there's a lot of different tactics that you can use when it comes to the subject line. I mean, you can, there's been a lot of good ones that just say like, hey, and that's it. It keeps them curious. And then there are ones that make promises. There are ones that promise deals. And some even use the fear factor. That's been really successful.
Yeah. And I think that the key there is to experiment. That's where A/B testing comes in. Every email should be a test. And that's something we preach here at New North, to have every email be a test, whether you're testing time of day, sending time, A/B test. If you're not learning with every email send, you're missing out, really. You're losing an opportunity, because everyone is a chance to learn something about your list, about your clients, what their interests are, what they like to click on. So always testing is a great way to kind of think about email, because it's not just a get it out the door. I mean, so many clients just, they get into email marketing and the pressure and the kind of impact is just, let's just get it out. We need to get this email out. Oh, we finally got the newsletter out. Wow. We're done. The finish line happened 2 weeks ago when they're just trying to get it out the door. They don't think about the long-term impacts of email and really the open rates, the testing, the impact that it can have, and thinking about it as a campaign, not just a one-off email. So if you're feeling like that, you're in that place where you're just struggling to get an email out the door, it may be time to think about a different strategy or bringing in, you know, a consultant to help you kind of take that from a different perspective and just bring more method to the madness of email. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more that goes into it than you really think, and that professional has that experience
to do it well.
Yeah, exactly.
We definitely have some clients who do it really well themselves, but if you feel like you're struggling, it's good to bring that, because you're missing opportunity. Email is the number one ROI channel in digital media, and it's been that way for, at least 4 or 5 years now. Probably will stay that way. There's just no other channel that promotes such ROI. It's the reason why Amazon emails you every day.
Mm-hmm.
It works. And so knowing that, if it's not working for you, you just haven't figured it out yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it works for every business. So hopefully that gives you a good wrap up of what you can do to increase your email open rates. Clean up your list, keep it snappy and tight. Make sure you got good contacts on there. Make sure you've got a good template, spam and design test it, and then experiment with subject lines. I think these three tactics will help you increase your email open rates right away. And if you need, want to discuss some email open rates or throw out some suggestions for subject lines, want to discuss, go over to our group at LinkedIn and put your subject line in there. We'll give you some feedback on it. We'll be happy to talk to you about it. All right. Welcome back. All right, we're going to do a quick food for thought segment here at the end of this podcast. We talked about subject lines and the content of those subject lines. So I wanted to throw a resource out there for you guys. This is a book that actually my wife had to read in college that was on our shelf, and I picked it up one day and read it, and it changed my writing forever. So not to give it a glaring endorsement there, but there you have it. It's kind of an old book. It's by William Zinsser. It's called On Writing Well. You probably can find a couple copies of this at your old used bookstore. But it really, the tagline of the book is an informal guide to writing nonfiction. This is a great guide for just writing good copy. There's some really good tips inside of it. It's a short book, so if you're a writer or maybe not a reader, it's pretty easy to go through. It's got subject, sections such as words, sentence, structure, leading, how to write good content for nonfiction, really clear. And I think the biggest win for me in this was, simplicity. It's really taught me how to pull down my word count and be concise in what I'm writing, and also to be clear with the message. It's really helped me look for words I don't need in sentences. And also for someone who's not a natural writer, writing wasn't one of my big things. I wasn't an English major at all. It's helped me kind of learn to revise copy in a different way, think about what's necessary, what's unnecessary. Is there a way to be more clear with less words? Is there a way to use words to increase the impact of what I'm trying to say versus decrease it? I think it's an overall great book. It's a great beach book if you're going to hit the beach this November. I know, but I'm still stuck in the summer here, but it's a great, just maybe it's a campfire book or a fireplace book, but it's real short, easy to go through. I think it will definitely impact your writing if you read it and apply even two or three of the tidbits that it has inside of it. So that's On Writing Well, William Zinsler. Go pick it up. We'll have a link to it in our show notes.
So that's it for today's show. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. We love reading those again. It really helps us improve our show. Also, be sure to check out our show notes on the website. We have a lot of helpful content on there from this and past podcast episodes.
Yeah, and also check out our LinkedIn group, You're the Marketing Department. You can search for it in the groups area. Post up a comment or a thought about the show or a comment you have about anything we've talked about in the episode. And also, you can always send us an email at podcast@newnorth.com. And we will get your question either featured on a show or respond to you if it's off air. And if we can use it, let us know. We'd be happy to talk about it on the show and really help support you guys as you fight this battle and create great organizations as a one-man or one-woman marketing army. I'm Tobin.
Jacob.
And we'll talk to you later.